report at this time. And we thank you for being here today. We want to give plenty of time to give to our missionary report because it is important. And I want to read a verse that just kind of shows how important that it is. And then you can already go ahead and put the verse on the screen. Acts 14:27. I had it marked, and then I moved my mark. So give me just a second. I could read it off the screen, but those are some tiny words for me. All right, Acts chapter 14, verse number 27. When they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all the things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. This is after Paul's first missionary journey. He came back to Antioch, gathered the church together, and reported what they had done on their mission trip. So we are doing this in accordance to what Paul did in Antioch, and us that went on the trip, we are very excited to share with you our trip. So here's how it's going to work. We've got a few videos to show you at first. The first video is going to be kind of a slideshow of some different things that we experienced, slideshow of our trip. The next video is going to be a video about United Christian Missions. The voice will be Lee. Lee is the missionary for United Christian Missions. And what he's going to do is he's going to tell the church about his ministry. This is the ministry that we partner with when we go to Nicaragua. The next video will be Pastor James Seifert. Pastor James Seifert is a good friend of mine. He pastors North Carolina. We have a podcast together. And usually when we go to Nicaragua, our two churches partner together. So Rocky Point and Pleasant Grove. And I asked Brother James to just get a video together, just kind of talk to my people, kind of thank you for going. Thank you for sending a delegation down there. We preached at Brother James preached at a conference while we were down there. We'll tell you more about that in just a minute. Once the three videos get done playing, we're going to have each member of our team come up and spend a few minutes talking about their experience and give their testimony. And y'all can use this right here. Just remember to turn the microphone on, use it off when you put it down. And then at the end, I'll get up and I've got some slides to show you. And then maybe one more video at the end, and that will be our server. So with that, let's go ahead and start with the first video at this time.
Many times I find myself in awe, speechless after a glimpse of His power and His glory. As I travel around the world in obedience to His Word and His Spirit, I repeatedly realize that the things that are happening are not of my doing. I would be silly to think or say I did any of the amazing things I've been allowed to witness. From sweet praise to the Lord in a barefoot Congo line in Togo, Africa, to seeing one of the many children I've grown attached to breaking down in tears after being eliminated in a Bible drill competition as if she had lost a state championship match. From hearing a pastor share his need for building materials for his church, to seeing God provide that day and helping begin construction only a couple of days later. From getting off a bus after a long day of traveling, tired and with no expectation of anything more than getting something to eat, and then seeing a young lady who had been carrying her baby for many miles and many months, searching for a better place, surrender her life to Christ and receive a Bible. And also to receive pictures of countless others receiving Bibles. From feeling like there was no possible way we could make it to the airport on time to catch our flight because of protesters blocking the only bridge across the river, to driving past miles of traffic in the other lane, only to see the protesters part and allow our team through at the amazement of the police trying to control them. From earnestly praying to God for help, to that prayer being answered in an undeniable way through a person on a team starting a not-for-profit organization of their own to help United Christian Missions and other ministries that are willing to do the work but reach limits due to funding. At this point, it seems my largest failure is being unable to tell all the stories of what God is doing around the world. After 28 international mission trips, I'm still in shock that God has extended the grace, mercy, and provision that allows me to be part of what He's doing around the world. I understand now that God has placed me in the gap. I live somewhere between here and there. At home, my heart is there and hoping for another opportunity to share the gospel truth that God loves you, sent His Son to die for you, that life may be tough, but there is a God in heaven. And if you will repent and believe His word, you have an eternity to look forward to that is greater than you can imagine. And when I'm there, my heart is at home, missing my wife and children, praying for their protection and salvation. I believe the best thing I can do is share the things I've learned. It's not for everyone, but I know it's what God has for me. Many have no desire to go see, confirm, and experience. That is okay. Doing international missions is not a requirement for salvation. It's an honor, privilege, and an indescribable blessing. I speak with many people who can no longer go, and it points me to a reality that there will come a day when I can no longer go. I pray it's a very long time away. I ask you to pray for God to continue to use United Christian Missions for His glory and the building of His kingdom. Pray that we will be drawn to the lost and give us the courage to always be obedient. Pray that God will protect us from pride, greed, and deception. Pray that our family and friends will be given health and provision that allows us to keep marching forward. Thank you very much for your prayers and your support.
Hello, Rocky Point Baptist Church. What a blessing it was for me to be able to go with you guys to Nicaragua. We had such a great time with your group. It was great to get to know all of you and to be able to serve with you there in the land of Nicaragua and Yenatega. I was so encouraged by just the work that we were able to do, the ministry we were able to see done. We were able to preach multiple times. Your pastor, Brett, was such a blessing to me, to encourage me and be able to help us out as me and him both did the pastor's conference where we saw, I think one night 50, one night almost 70 people come to that pastor's conference. And we know that it was encouraging. We got to hand out books. We got to feed them. We got to hand out Bibles to those pastors and lay leaders. as they're leading their churches. One of my most encouraging things that we got to go and be a part of was the Educated Child program, where we were able to see all these kids that were so excited about God's word and excited about what was going on in their life. And then we, my wife, she got to share a couple of testimony at the maternity home, and just got to see about 65 ladies that were there that were pregnant, that were helped with the gospel. And then the thing that impacted my life, one of the most impactful things for me, was going to the dump. And we got to see these families that live up there that are eating out of the garbage, that are just finding things that they can salvage out of the ground, out of the people's waste. And we were so just touched by that. We got to share the gospel with them. I believe George got to share a testimony, and one of our younger translators, Javier, was able to translate, and that was just a blessing to be able to see that. And I'm just thankful that we were able to partner together, our churches, and go down to Nicaragua. As a Southern Baptist pastor, I believe that we can do more together than we ever can do separate. And this is just a testimony of how we, as churches in two different locations, can be on mission together. And so I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for the impact that you guys are going to see through this. And I'm thankful for your church, your pastor, and your people there. Love you guys so much. And I hope to one day meet you really soon.
I don't have much to say, just that going there is an eye-opening experience, and I think everyone in America should get to experience that. Because it just puts your life, your privileged life, into perspective.
Good morning, everyone. If you have never been on a mission trip, you're missing a blessing. As I stand here, I'm probably going to cry. But it seems like that every time I come up with an excuse that I couldn't go, and the devil slammed doors, God opened them. Whether it be keeping kids, a sick mother-in-law, work, or whatever, my husband was one of my biggest hurrah supporters. He's like, if God wants you to go, where there's a will, there's a way. And he worked it out, and I was able to go. You know, I'd been to Thailand once before, but this was a whole different trip. First of all, I want to thank you for your support. Without y'all going to our fundraisers and buying stuff from us and everything, you know, today's economy especially, none of us would ever been able to do this. So it's through y'all that y'all were able to put boots on the ground and send us to do this. Y'all, this trip, it was a revitalization. Revelation and revitalization of the Spirit in me. These people know how to worship. Well, let me tell you a little bit about, well, I got a few funnies to tell you, but when we left, of course, you're flying through the airport and stuff, and Colin's first time to fly, and he's going through the airport, and guess what? He gets pulled for a random check. So he's going over here, and then his dad's coming with him. They say, no, sir, you can't go. You got to go over here and stuff. And he's going, So it was nothing serious. He just got his backpack checked and stuff. Well, coming back, me and poor Amy, let me tell you, we believe in bringing Nicaraguan coffee and everything else back. And you got all these little bricks of coffee and everything. And so, guess what? Our bags get flagged. Ma'am, y'all come on over here. So we have to go over there, and you thought we were some kind of smugglers or something, you know. But anyway, we made it through customs okay. So, well, when we got to Managua, they picked us up in a van, and we went on to Hinatega. And we met with the team there. Well, when we got there, we stayed in a really nice place. They have a nice little mission center set up there, but there's no air conditioning. And whatever you do, you don't drink the water, you don't brush your teeth in it. I mean, you don't use it for anything but a shower. So you had to be very vigilant to do that. Our people here were boots on the ground. We got a lot of miles in. We visited a lot of places. We've seen a lot of kids and adults and stuff. One thing about the people in Nicaragua that we saw, they are very limited resource people. Yes, we have them here in the U.S., but the thing about it is, over there, a lot of the jobs are limited, too. They don't have the advantage of going to put their application in at a WIN job center. And if you noticed, the town was pretty busy, but as you the further you went up in the mountains or the further you went out of the city, the poorer the people got. Now, these people, they lived in tin shacks. They may use tarps. They may use, you know, whatever they could find out of the dump or whatever to live in. But I tell you what, every house that we went in, those people took pride. They took pride in having nothing. It was arranged. It was taken care of. Most every house, you would see a family picture up on the wall or something. These people had love. They had love. And one thing that touched my heart, and Brother Brett, I'm sure he'll speak to this. These people, y'all, we get in our cars and we drive to church service. A lot of times these adults and these kids and they're toting kids, and if they can't catch a ride in the back of the truck and stuff, it's at least 3 miles up that people come to these churches services and stuff. And you say, well, why do they come that far? Well, number one, they're hungry for the word. I have never been so loved on. I probably had some slobber and some snot and everything else rubbed all over me. But I tell you what, these people were hungry to love on you. And I'm going to get on to you as a church. That's something that we need to do more of. When people come through these back doors and stuff here, we were met. We were met with hugs. We were met with love. We were met with kisses and stuff. You just made sure you had hand sanitizer. But they are a loving, godly people, the ones that we got to see. You got to remember that is a more communist country, so we did have to be a little more careful how we went out and about. You know, we got revival coming up. We need to have the spark and share the spark that these people did. Guys, when it come to singing and worshiping, they got up and they held their hands up and they praised the Lord, and it was hallelujah. And you saw people on fire for Jesus. And we see people sitting here that don't even want to get up or sing a hymn or whatever and stuff. And even though it was in a different language, we could hear the tunes and stuff and we could follow along. And these people, they were thirsty. They were hungry for what we had to share. Now, you saw some pictures of us up the mountain. One of the pictures that you didn't see is at the top of the mountain there was a cross. And it being a pretty much a dictatorship, everywhere you see a cross, the wife of the dictator, is that correct as I'm saying that, comes in and they put this horrendous tree, this horrendous tree, and they call it the Tree of Life. Well, it's not. If you'll notice on some of these trees, it was pointed out that they have like some sixes on it. So they're wanting to offset people worshiping that cross. Now we'll get on, I'll get on with the story. Some of the things talking about the dump. We went up to the dump, and guys, they had one soccer ball and one flat soccer ball, and you would have thought that they had the world. Those kids had nothing else. And, you know, if God gives me the health and the ability to go again or whatever, I will take 15 soccer balls and some frisbees and everything else, and I'll make sure they're in my bag. Because these kids, y'all are blessed. Y'all just don't know what y'all have. You know, you need to thank your parents every day for everything you have, because they have nothing, nothing. And these kids, they were able to take a soccer ball, and you never seen them play as such a community. Our kids don't know how to do that anymore. They have over 200 kids in the program. And this time, you saw me and my young lady that I adopted, and me and my husband and my grandkids, and her name is Lila Fernanda. And she is able to come into the program now, and they provide her school uniforms, and she's able to go to school. And you saw a lot of the food bags we handed out. Those kids are targeted and able to receive food now, like once a month or whatever, to help support their families. So my $30, my six Mountain Dews a week, guess what? I just changed a kid's life, you know. So anyway, I won't go on. We're supposed to have 5 minutes each and stuff, but all y'all know I'm a horse person, and I'll kind of go on with this. You saw a lot of horses over there. Now, horses are big and fat. Well, theirs are about this wide. And if they had a homemade saddle on them, you know that was a very, very low-income family. And if you saw them that had store-bought saddles, you know that they were able to afford to buy a little bit more. And that went along with everything. The last day, some of the people that we were with, they had been kind of feeling sickly and stuff. And that last day, I picked up a little bug, so I didn't even know if I was going to get to fly home with the team or not and stuff. But three Imodium later and a little rest, you'll see me asleep on the van and stuff. I was able to make it on the plane and get back home. But if I hadn't have been, guess what? God would have took care of me. I had a place to stay, and I would have just got to visit it a little bit longer. So y'all be praying for all the people that we met over there. Pray for the ministry. It's always strife and conflict going on. And just pray that we're continuing to do a service. Also, we were able to take a few Bibles and stuff with us, so we kind of spread them out among us, and we were able to supply some of the people Bibles in their own language. So that was a blessing. So whoever is next may come.
So this is my second time. Okay, so this is my second time to go. And if you can see, that's my little girl that I sponsor. I got to spend a lot of time with her, and I got to spend a lot of time with Travis's that's in the red dress while we were there. And to see the changes in the girls' lives since the last time we were there was amazing. To see the kids that have grown up some since we left them, and to see the impact that we all had on them. It was nothing for me to walk into a church and hear, "Amy, Amy," and I'd be like, "I'm not even from here. Who is calling my name?" And I'd turn around and it'd be one of the kids, and they'd come running up and hug me and tell me that they missed me and stuff. And it did good to my heart to know that we had such an impact the last time. So I know this time we had an even bigger impact than we did before. My child I sponsor, her little sister was in the hospital, so I didn't get to see her this time or her mom. And y'all pray for her, because the last time we were there, they figured out that she has a brain tumor. And the doctors don't want to operate right now on her until she gets a little bit bigger. So she's in and out of the hospital a good bit. Her daddy was so excited to see me, though. He just kept hugging me and telling me thank you, and just appreciative that I'm helping his child get an education and helping the family out with their needs. One thing I can say about United Christians is every penny you put into there goes to where they're saying. You're sponsoring your child and their family's getting all the money. That means a lot to me. We got to go with one of the little girls. Her sponsor had sent her some birthday money, and she spent the day, you know, me and Vicky helped her pick out some shoes that she wanted. But what hit me the most was she didn't want to spend the money on herself. She wanted to spend the money on her family. She wanted to get her mama some shoes. She wanted to get her sister a toy. She wanted to get one of the cousins that live with her, you know, bring them back home something instead of getting what she needed. The dump was heartbreaking. To see those people, they light the fires and stuff to burn the garbage, and to see those people in the smoke just digging around and trying to find what they could find to survive on, that broke my heart. But then we went and we played soccer with them and we sang with them. And when we first got there, Oscar was honking his horn, and all the kids were running out of their little houses and stuff and running up to the meeting spot. And I had one little boy, and he just took off running as soon as he saw me, and he jumps up in my arms. He's just hugging me, and he pulls back, and I'm looking at him, and he's got, like, snot running all down his face, and I'm like, "Oh, it's so good to see you. Where's my hand sanitizer?" And Lee was like, "Just know y'all probably gonna get sick in about 3 days, so whatever they have." So I'm squirting out all the hand sanitizer and stuff. And that was an experience. The food was better this go around. I did get to eat a little bit more. I'll tell you a funny. So I'm a counter. So if I take a group with me, I'm going to count heads. So we get to the airport in Jackson, I'm counting heads. We have everybody. Okay, let's get on the plane. Okay, everybody's in their seats. We swap airports. We get to Houston. We have to get on a tram to get to the next plane. Vicky and I get behind the boys. They get on the tram. Vicky and I are stuck. We're thinking, do we take off running across the airport, or do we just stay here and wait? We're like, "Oh," and the little guy stops us. "No, go back to the tram. It's going to be faster, you know. Just go back." So we do get to the thing, barely make it to get on the next flight. I'm counting heads. There's all the boys. We're good. We can get on the plane, get off the plane. I'm still counting heads. So we get to Nicaragua. The days go on, and everybody's like, "Why are you keeping up with George?" Because I told them, I said, "Keep up with George. Whatever we do, let's keep up with George." So it gets the last day, and I don't count heads because we're arguing as to if I need to ride in a truck around the block or if I can walk, because I hadn't got hurt. And I'm like, "I will just walk. It's fine." They were arguing with me. I didn't count heads that morning. So half of them go ahead of us, and the other half of us are slowly walking. We get around the corner, and I'm looking, and I'm like, "Where's George?" George wasn't with us. So one of them hollers out, "Hey, is George with y'all?" There's no George. And I said, "I told y'all the only thing we had to do was keep up with George. That's all I asked y'all, and y'all told me he was grown. We didn't have to keep up with George." So Oscar jumps in his truck and he drives around the block, and there's George locked away with the padlock. He can't get out and people can't get in. So he meets us around the block in the truck. So we kept up with George a little bit, Sonia. I did try my best. Did you? Yes. He was locked behind bars. So that was the funny of the trip. So if you ever take George, just keep up with George. And the most heartbreaking thing, I think, was the end of the trip. Javier was one of the little boys that came to the center, and he spent all day with us, every day with us, hanging out with us, talking with us, doing whatever we did, he was with us. And the night we had to leave and he had to tell us goodbye, I think everybody in the building cried. You knew you made an impact on him because he didn't want to see us leave. And it's, when are you coming back? And that's something I keep with me. So I want to thank y'all for helping us. We're probably going to start fundraising again to go back. I highly recommend going back to everybody. It's something everybody needs to experience and see. There's mission work here to do, but the mission work there just touched my heart, and it felt like going back home.
I'm glad Amy tweaked her leg on the trip, because otherwise I could have never caught up with her in the airport. Just letting you know that. No, we had a great time. The trip was my first flight. We had no problems at all. It was great. The flights went beautiful. We got to Managua. The weather is about like it is here in Managua. We took the bus 3 hours up to Hinatega. It's up about 3,000 feet in elevation. The hottest it got was 80 one day, and the low was like 60 at night. I mean, it was a great breeze was blowing. It was beautiful weather. I mean, it was fantastic. I don't know really what touched me the most on the trip. I think our interpreters that we had, Javier, Carlos, Oscar, and Mariano. I was really touched by all of them. They did a great job interpreting for the pastors, for all of us as we shared. They gave of their time and just really helped out doing what we were doing there to minister to the people. The food was great to me. The Sunday morning church service we had, we really need to learn from these people. All right. They had their church service, had a great song service, great preaching. Brother James got up and preached. They have these little patio chairs set up in the sanctuary. At the end of the preaching service, all the chairs just, they pulled them to the side. We got in little groups on the side. They said, all right, we're going to have a fruit fellowship. This is a great thing, y'all, fruit fellowship. You don't have to stand in line. They bring it out to you. The first thing was coffee and a cookie. And the next course was a fruit salad. And the next was it looked like a bowl of banana pudding, but I knew it wasn't banana pudding. So I said, Herman, sitting beside me, I'd made friends with him, one of their great members there at the church. I said, Herm, what is that? Because they didn't offer me any of that. They offered me everything else. He said, mango and milk. Mango and milk. And it had a little bean in it, sort of like a little vanilla bean that gave it flavor. He said, you want to try some? I said, sure. I thought he was going to bring me out a little sample. He brings me out this big bowl of mango and milk. I was like, all right, I'm trying this. That stuff was good, I'm telling you. So I left there thinking, I'm related to these people. I think I'm. Another thing was, everybody over there drove a Toyota truck. I felt right at home right away. Toyota truck. or a small motorcycle. You either had a Toyota Hilux pickup or you had about a 150, 160. I think the biggest motorcycle I saw was a 250. And let me tell you what, they run the roads of those things, let me tell you. They all got straight pipes on them. I asked Lee, I said, first day we were there, I said, do they ever quit running these streets out here? He said, yeah. Oh, yeah, about 10 o'clock, it'll cut off. I said, it's a good thing, because otherwise I'd never get any sleep over there. So anyway, but we had a great time. I said, before I went over there, I said, the person that needs this mission trip most is me. And I still say that. But it was a very touching, very, very good time. We were there a week, it seemed like, 2 or 3 days. And the Lord really helped our group, you know, to work together. And so it was really a sweet time together, and I really enjoyed it. I'd encourage anybody of any age, young, old, middle-aged, give it a shot. I mean, it's a great experience. It'll be better than any vacation you've ever been on, because these people keep you busy. They take you where you need to go. They fed us good. We slept good at night because we were worn out. It was a great trip. But anyway, thank y'all for letting us go and supporting us. We appreciate it.
So those are some good testimonies right there. I'll tell you, the first time that we went 2 years ago, we went to a language class. And in that language class, these kids were trying to think about, you know, learn English. And we were talking English with them. And they're going around the room and they were asking, what's everybody's favorite sport? Well, the Nicaraguans were saying soccer. And all the Americans were saying football. And so I want to be a little different. So I said, wrestling. And then they look for a second, and they look, what? Say, Lucha Libre? Oh, John Cena. So they called me John Cena. And so I went back, and I remember one of those kids, they found me and recognized me, called up this time, called me John Cena. He remembered. And so, you know, I really had a great time at Nicaragua this time. It was completely different from the trip that we went on a few years prior. Let me show, I've got some pictures for you, as you know. So the first picture, this was my birthday present. And I'll tell you the first full day after our travel day was my birthday. I turned 44 in Nicaragua, and I was there with my oldest son, Colin. And it was his first time not only being on a plane, but it was the first time us going on a mission trip together. And that was a great experience. It was a great experience to get to go there with my son. It was such a gift. And I tell you, number one, if you haven't been on a mission trip, go. It'll soften your heart. It'll give you a compassion for the lost. But then number two, go with your children. Take your children. It was wonderful to get to spend that time with him. To see him open up and enjoy himself and do ministry work as the week went on. It was a wonderful blessing for me, and it was one of the greatest birthday presents that I could ever have received. And so, like, we had just, this was our first full day. We stepped out. I don't know, the cross that we're standing at is in the background at the top of that the top of that mountain. We'll go up there later. Well, I'll hike all the way up with them. That's a joke. I didn't. While they hiked, I rode up the back road. I beat them up there. And but we are. It was a great first day. Next slide. So this is just kind of give you an idea of what we did. The Educate a Child program is all about getting into these homes. In Nicaragua, you can't go door to door. You can't minister like that. But the Educate a Child program is a way for us to help families that don't have a lot. And what would happen is there are churches, about 8 different churches right now that partner with worldwide with United Christian Missions, and they recommend children who are poor, who don't have a lot, to the program. In order for them to be a part of the program, they have to go be interviewed, and they have to get follow certain conditions. They have to be faithful to church. They have to be attend school. They have to keep their good. They have to keep their grades up. And if they do that, their family gets to attend food drives throughout the year. They get fresh uniforms every semester. You can go to school without a uniform, but you're made fun of, you're mocked, you're bullied if you don't have a uniform. And the parents, these parents are living in you see, 10 shacks is their home. They're living in lawnmower shacks, and they're expected to buy these things. So, and Vicky was right. The further you go, like, it's one thing to be in the city, but once you start going up the mountain, the people get poor and poor and poor, and the roads don't get paved, and there's no water, so the water truck has to come up a little ways up the mountain and fill up a big vat of water, and all these families have to walk down the mountain and get buckets of water and walk those buckets back all the way up to their home. And so this is some of the things that we've did. We would go and introduce ourselves to new kids and new families who are part of the program, and that's that was one of the things that we would do on any time we go to Nicaragua with this organization. Next, another thing that we had an opportunity to do is we had an opportunity to have a pastor's conference. We had a two-day pastor's conference. Just like James said, we had 50. We had 50 one day. We had 70 the next day, and a lot of them are pastors coming in. And one of the things that Lee asked me and James, our podcast is all about fighting against legalism. For Freedom Podcast is all about fighting against legalism. And so that's what he wanted us to do. He wanted to come in and teach on legalism and grace, because legalism is a big problem in Nicaragua. Half of these churches are Baptist, the other half are Pentecostal, and a lot of them, they have some pretty strange ideas. One of the strange ideas, and I've told some of you, is that soccer is not only a sin, but soccer will send you to hell. And so this is some of the things that we would have to fight against. And I remember we had our Q&A the first day, and one pastor tried to get up, and, you know, he read a verse. He read 1 Corinthians 11:1-10:23, and he said, "All things are permitted, but all things are benefit. All things are permitted, but not all things build people up." And he read that as to condemn soccer. But, you know, James, he knows this passage like the back of his hand, and when the guy got done talking, James was like, "Whoa, let's go back to that scripture and let's read it all the way through." And he read it all the way through to the end. At the end of that paragraph, it says, "If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered about that for which I give thanks?" So that's the end of the discourse. And then it says, "Therefore, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all things for the glory of God." So then James said, "Why can't you play soccer for the glory of God?" And when I tell you, they broke out in laughter. And listen, they weren't laughing with us. They were laughing at us. They were mocking us. They like talk about laugh to a scorn. They were mocking us because we said play soccer for the glory of God. So that was a little hurdle, a little rough the first day. But the second day, we came in and we had a good understanding. And it was a great turnout. Let's go to the next slide. The Educated Child Program had their year-end party. And when I tell you, these churches look forward to this event all year. In the slideshow, you saw kids. They were dressed up as sheep. They were dressed up as Roman guards. They were singing. And listen, these kids, they love Bible drills. I mean, they were all about the Bible drills. And whenever they lost the Bible drill, they would start crying and weeping uncontrollably because they had spent all year practicing for the Bible drills. And how one of the ways they do Bible drills is they put the Bible on top of the head, and they you start turning pages, and they'll tap your shoulder and tell you when to stop. And just by tapping your shoulder, you're able to put your finger on the exact verse that they want to read. That's part of the Bible drill. And it was a great time. It was about 200 kids in the program. So there was over 300 people at this church that we rented out for this program. While we were preaching the pastor's conference, a lot of the team went back, walked back to the mission center two blocks up and started packing those food bags that are full of rice and beans. And I mean, there were 20-pound bags because Lee got a grant to give them a lot more food this year. So each kid, even if they're part of the same family, got to take home a 20-pound bag of food that would last these families a lot. And so this was the Educate a Child program does a lot for the gospel. It gets in these homes, keeps these families faithful to church, gives them the gospel, and it's a great program. Next. This is 200. We did 270 bags. This is 200 of them, and the other 70 we gave out a little later. Next. And so we just helped every kid we had cupcakes and we had drinks and we gave each kid a bag after the program was over. Next. All right, so this was the maternity home. This is something that Lee said he had never really had a chance to do before. And so we go into this maternity home, and like James said, there were 65 pregnant women. When you get pregnant, this is where you go. Okay, you go to this maternity home. And so these pregnant women, they stay in this home until they have their baby. Some of these girls were very young. There was one, she said she was 15, but she looked younger than 15. We said she's probably 12 or 13 in this home, pregnant. And so Allison, James' wife, we were able to give snacks to these ladies. And Allison, James' wife, got up and spoke to them, spoke from the heart, gave the gospel, gave her testimony, began weeping. Like Allison is up there talking, and she looks up and she catches eyes with this little young girl who's in this home pregnant and just starts weeping. And then after it was over, we're giving snacks, and just the look of appreciation in the eyes of just giving these people, just these women, just cookies and drink, just showing them how much we care for them and giving them refills. Man, they were surprised when we give them refills. And then they had the kids, because some of them had little children that lived in there with them, and the little children were put in a little room. And so James got around. I was like, we got extra. Let's give the kids stuff too. And the kids were like, oh, we get to partake in it. We get to have some. And they were surprised that they got part of it. Man, this was just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And these women, they got the gospel shared. When we were done, some of these women were crying. They were weeping. The Lord definitely moved. It's ministry. It's what we went there for. Next. I took this picture. To me, this is the most impactful picture that I took the whole time. We're going into the dump, and flies all around us. I feel sorry for the people riding in the back of the truck, because they were, old Colin was swatting flies the whole time. A swarm was flies all around the truck. You could smell it even with the windows shut. And as we're going down the road, going to the dump, was just literally a burning valley. The fires never stop. This reminded me of a Bible verse. It reminded me, and that's why I stopped, I rolled down the window, I snapped this picture. Lee got on to me. He was in the back of the truck. He said, "Brad, roll that window up." But I was able to snap this picture before he got on to me. And the reason why I snapped this picture was to read this verse this morning. And it's Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. "And do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, in the Greek, that word hell is Gehenna. Gehenna is the name of the valley that was the dump in ancient Israel. And it was a place where the fire would never quit burning. The smoke would billow from the valley of Gehenna constantly. It was one of the reasons why Jesus associated hell with the valley of Gehenna. And when I saw this, it reminded me of Gehenna. And Lee would tell us about these families that live in the dump all the time. They would, the dump truck would dump the groceries out, and they're eating food as it's coming off the dump truck. And they live there all their life just to recycle, and some of them never hear about Jesus and don't care about Jesus, so they literally live on earth in a living hell, and then they don't hear about Jesus, and they end up there anyway. And it was just a moving picture to me. Good to go to the next slide. I mean, you can't see the flies in this picture, but they were all around us. These people, they were wearing handkerchiefs around their face and their nose. I don't know if you remember the slideshow, but there was a picture of a girl and a mom running. They had jumped in one of the back of the trucks and caught a ride back to the village. And the little girl had soot from head to toe. All of the kids were like that. They have a little church in the little village there, but they can't keep a pastor because no pastor wants to go there. Next. One of the things we're able to do, the other 70 packages we're able to hand out, that's the church in the background. They can't keep a pastor in. But we're able to give out food bags at this dump. This was also placed at George and Javier. George gave a great gospel presentation there. And just a little soccer ball. And Lee said that one of the churches that saw this and broke their heart, and they're going to bring soccer balls to every family and goals for them kids. There's, man, maybe 30 or 40 kids in this village, and they're the children of the parents who work in the dump. And the village is just around a little hill from the dump where it just burns, and they just smell that smell all the time. But we're able to go there and minister to these people. Next. This is a picture of Oscar Perez. He is a pastor of Hebron L.A. Baptist Church in Hinatega. The last time we were in Hinatega, his church was an open field. I have a picture of him standing in an open field. This time, we're actually in his church, got to preach in his church. Oscar has a heart for the people at the dump. He comes there often. What he wants is he wants those children at the dump to be a part of the Educated Child Program. But the only way they can be a part of the Educated Child Program is if they come to an approved church. So Oscar wants to buy a bus or a big van to transport those kids back and forth to church, and also other families that want to come to church but can't. Oscar has a little Toyota truck. I'm going to show you a video in just a minute about what Oscar's truck looks like. And that little Toyota truck that have to, they use it so much and go back and forth. All the vehicles in Nicaragua are manual transmission. And he has to use it so much that this year alone, Oscar's truck has broke down 3 times. They've had to, the organization's had to fix his truck. So I just want to lay that groundwork and tell you that there's a need here, okay? So with that in mind, let me show you this picture real quick, this video real quick.
Hello, I am Pastor Oscar Perez at Hebron Baptist Church in Hinatega, Nicaragua. Our church and ministry has grown very much over the last 8 years since we planted the church in Hinatega. We are now in need of a van to help pick up church members that live far away to walk, and also other people that have trouble walking. We have also new families and new kids in the city that want to come to our church, but we don't have the capacity to move all those people to our church. I have used my truck until now, but it cannot do the job safely. Thank you very much for your prayerfully, and please consider to help us purchase a van for our church. God bless you.
Pastor Oscar Perez and Hebron LA Baptist Church serve as an amazing example of the kind of ministry partnerships we want. God's hand has blessed the faithful, enduring service of him, his family, and our brothers and sisters in Christ who call Hebron LA their church. We ask that you prayerfully consider both contributing and also by helping by sharing this video with others that may desire to help. You can mail checks to United Christian Missions, P.O. Box 1038, Bowling Springs, North Carolina, zip code 28017, or online at the link shared in the description. Please use the memo, Hebron LA Van. Thank you very much, and may God bless you abundantly.
Now, one of the things that it's my fault I forgot to do last week was prepare you for a special offering, but we're going to do that this week. So I'm going to announce we're going to have a special offer next Sunday, because I know we live in a world where people don't carry cash anymore. And so we need to give you some time to prepare for this. But we're going to announce we're going to have a special offering next Sunday for Oscar's Church to see if we can get them a van and help them with this ministry. Now, I know I've kept you a little longer than I normally do on a Sunday morning, but sometimes the situation calls for that. I want to thank from the bottom of my heart, along with all of the people who went on our trip, we want to thank this church, because like Vicky said, you are the reason that we went. Every single penny that we raised came from you and from your family and friends and neighbors. And we want to thank you for sending this mission team. It's a life-changing thing to go on and see these needs and help be the hands and feet of Jesus. And our duty is to come back and report to you what God has done. People were saved. The gospel was preached. Lives were changed. And you had a part in that. Just because you didn't go, don't think that you're not a part of this, because you're the one that sent us. You're the one that gave. And so you were out there with us. We were your representatives from Rocky Point Baptist Church. And that's going to show you the reach that our church has. It goes beyond Barnes. It goes beyond Carthage. It goes beyond Lee County in Mississippi. And our reach goes into the uttermost part of the world. So what we're going to do for invitation today is we're just going to play a little verse of invitation. And I just want you to pray. I want you to meditate on what you've seen and heard today. If the Holy Spirit is working on you in any way, I'm going to ask that you just spend time this morning in prayer, meditating on what you've seen, surrendering to do whatever the Lord would have you do, and maybe say, Lord, if you want me to go on a mission trip the next time one's available, please give me the funds to do that. Give me the availability at my job to do that. Give me the drive. Give me the passion to do that. Because I promise you, it will change your life. And there'll come a day you can't do it. There'll come a day when you physically can't do it anymore. The night cometh when no man can work. And so we need to do the work now while it's day. And so just I'm going to pray, and then we'll stand with our eyes closed and heads bowed, and we're going to have a short time of invitation. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to go to Nicaragua to help these families, to help this organization, Lord. Lord, these are national pastors that love these people, that love this city, want to reach this city for Christ, Lord. There are so many bad influences. This is a communist country, Lord, communist run. And this communist country does everything that they can to keep the gospel out of Hinatega. Lord, we have to go undercover to do this. And Lord, I pray not only for United Christian Missions, for Lee as he continues to go back, continues to take churches there to minister. But Lord, I want to pray for the churches there, for Oscar and his church and all the other churches. I pray that you bless them, bless their ministries. Lord, I'm thankful for the people that went this year, Lord, for this trip. I want to thank you for their willingness to serve, Lord, for their passion for the lost and service for God. I want to thank you that they're able to put feet on the prayers of so many people. And Lord, I want to thank you for this church. We would not have been able to go and do this and experience this and do this ministry if it wasn't for the kind and loving and generous people of Rocky Point Baptist Church. Lord, during this invitation time, Lord, help us just take a moment, take a breath, take a step, and just meditate on what we've seen this morning and spend some time in prayer and worship for the invitation. Be with our invitation. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you for watching and being with us today. We're so glad you joined us, and we invite you to come back and join us next week.